friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide. I want to welcome Joe Calderoni, who is Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, and he served as investigation editor of New York Daily News and then went on indeed to Newsday. And Joe, you're very welcome.
Thank you. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it.
Now, you let's talk a little bit about your role as investigations editor. Investigations editor, are you the type of guy that, you know, if you were to strike up a conversation with somebody saying, "Oh, geez, I don't want to have anything to do with this fellow," is that
depending on who you talk to, that might be true. But I like to think that we engaged in fair journalism when I was at the Daily News and New York Newsday, and we tried to do stories that legitimately deserved some spotlight treatment.
Right. So it's not all negative, then. You're not a prosecutor such.
No, definitely not. Wayne Barrett, the late Wayne Barrett, said that we were the people's detective.
Oh,
I always thought that was a good description, you know. Most people don't have the time to rummage through thousands of court documents and track down sources and the like, but, a good investigative team, that's what they do. And the key is to pick topics that are really worthy of that kind of time and effort, journalistically speaking.
Now, that brings us on the eve of the 21st anniversary of 9/11 to, you know, where you were and what was your role in reporting on 9/11, and in particular the FDNY, the fire department of New York City.
Yes, so I had done some stories on the fire department prior to 9/11, and I had some sources there. So it was just natural when 9/11 hit. I had the title of investigations editor. We had a team, but I was very much a working reporter at the time. And I remember shortly after the attack, hearing from some of my sources that we had lost upwards of 300. Members of the FDNY, and it was just an unbelievable number. It's still an unbelievable number to me to have that, you know, that many firefighters perished during the attack. And that just always stuck with me. And I felt that the story of what happened to the firefighters hadn't fully been told, even though the attack on the World Trade Center was one of the most covered events in the history of New York City and the world. I always felt, and it took me 10 years to write the book and get it published with Post Hill Press, I always felt that aspect of the story, and there are so many aspects of the 9/11 stories, but I felt that the story of what happened to the firefighters, they obviously were rushing into the building as everybody else was rushing out. No question, there were many heroes that day among the FDNY. They helped save, countless numbers of people. But at the same time, you know, there were operational issues on the day of 9/11 with the fire department, including with the communications issues, their radios that didn't work properly. And that part of the book really is based on the 9/11 Commission. The 9/11 Commission did a very good job, I thought, of looking at the international and national and local response and issues and implications of the attack. But Chapter 9 of the 9/11 Commission dealt with the city's response and really documented a lot of the issues that I try to illuminate in the book. The problem I felt was that very few people have read Chapter 9 of the 9/11 Commission Report. So that's why I went the fiction route. I wanted to try to bring the story of what happened to the firefighters to a larger audience. And I thought if I could take the basic elements of the commission's findings and wrap it into a story that people could more easily relate to. That was my thinking.
The book is called Don't Look Back. And it is a novel based on facts. So you actually, you know, in writing this novel, which is, and it's listed and when well reviewed as a thriller book, but let's start with the title, Don't Look Back. Give us the guts of the story and of this of your new book.
Yes, so it is historical fiction, and it's available on Amazon, by the way, and also on Kindle and as an audio book. And it basically there are some main characters. One of them, surprise, is an intrepid reporter who works for a fictional tabloid newspaper in New York City, which, by the way, in the book has a fictitious British editor at the top. And also there are two very strong female characters, both of whom, by the way, are Irish, Mary Sullivan and Sarah Murphy. Sarah Murphy is the mother of a probie who is killed on 9/11, a probationary firefighter. And she works at City Hall, and she eventually decides to help the reporter, Juan Gomez, unearth what really happened to the firefighters. And then the other very strong character is Mary Sullivan. And Mary works at City Hall, and she helps the reporter as well.
It's but it is based on real events. Does that make it for somebody who, you know, spent 25 years as a journalist and, you know, in the shadow of the World Trade Center and in City Hall, does that make it more difficult when you are actually writing a novel based on facts that you already know and have covered?
Yeah, well, so it was a challenge. I had never written a novel before, that's for sure. But actually, as a reporter, you know, you do have an ear, I think, for dialogue. So writing the dialogue was not as difficult as the character development and the plot, which I took more time and found you know, a little bit more challenging. But, you know, as a reporter, you meet so many interesting people, and especially having worked at City Hall, a lot of characters over 25 years of reporting. And one of the challenges, one of the things I wanted to do is to try to wrestle those people, those characters. And these are, you know, the characters in the book are a conglomerate of people from all walks of life, both tabloid journalism and the printing trades, and certainly the FDNY and the NYPD and law enforcement. And I hopefully wrestled them down into a group of characters that, according to the people who have reviewed the book, are, likable characters that you care about, and a decent plot that, keeps you turning the page. Because, you know, the first rule, I think the first obligation is to have a good story when you're writing a novel.
Now, just a little bit more on yourself. You actually attended Holy Cross High School in Flushing, Queens, and as such, was that education, was that something which formed or, you know, drew you towards journalism? When did journalism as a career kick in with you?
Yeah, well, so without question, I was extremely fortunate to have attended Holy Cross High School in Flushing, Queens. I wasn't a particularly good student, but I got very involved in all kinds of extracurricular, including writing for they did have a student newspaper, so that was my first exposure. But they just, you know, provided a really great, well-rounded education and opportunities to really explore what you might want to do. So very grateful to the Brothers of Holy Cross that still run the school today. And I consider myself, by the way, honorary Irish because I sent my oldest son to the University of Notre Dame. He was fortunate enough to get in there. I was never smart enough to get into Notre Dame, but a great place.
That's for sure. Now, this again has been selected. You know, and you want to talk about reviews as the best new in paperback by People Magazine, and which named it People Picks, a suspenseful, eye-opening thriller about firefighters who lost their lives on 9/11. When you actually started to write the book, did you mean it, or did you look at it as a thriller, or you know, as you were going along, what did you set out to do?
I definitely wanted it to be a fast-paced story. Again, I was trying to create something that the general public could relate to and would get involved in. Again, you know, the 9/11 Commission is a great report, but it's a rather somewhat dry document that most people are not going to take the time to read. So I wanted to create a thriller, yes, a fast-paced book, and that's what most of the reviewers have said. You know, you never know when you're writing, frankly, whether it's any good until you release it upon the world. But I'm very grateful that it has gotten some good reviews from People Magazine, Dan's Papers, you know, the Civil Service Chief did a nice piece, The Irish Echo also. And one of the reviews that I'm actually most pleased with and proud of comes from City and State. Bill Cunningham, who served as Mayor Bloomberg's communications director right after 9/11, you know, he said that the book performs a service to the city and its emergency responders, particularly the FDNY. And he also, I think, captured a key point, and he said that the fictional characters taken together serve a larger purpose. And I hope that's true.
Yeah. Well, there's that and a lot more very positive reviews. Some saying this is on its way to being a bestseller. And it's relatively new, and again, as you mentioned, it has indeed through Amazon. It's also being carried in a great number of bookstores, you know, across the nation. Just want to, okay, if we can get to the guts of the story. Again, the main character, a mother of a firefighter killed on 9/11, teams up with a crusading journalist to fight City Hall and uncover truth. Now, that part, even though this is a fictional book, that has been, you know, there's a lot of truth in that, and so many families of the 343 firefighters, you know, who perished in the World Trade Center would say, well, that's not fictional. That's truth.
No, there's no question that is, you know, based on what the families went through. You know, right after the attack, there wasn't much appetite, and I think rightfully so, to examine the city's response and what were some of the shortcomings. You know, people were first the search and rescue, and then all the funerals that we all witnessed that went on for months. So, but eventually the families, the 9/11 families, emerged as a very powerful force politically as they sought answers to what happened and demanded official investigations, which I think ultimately resulted in the 9/11 Commission. So yes, Sarah Murphy is the, you know, the mother of the Proby. And she kind of represents the family struggle to most of the book actually is post 9/11 and deals with the family's struggle as they organize and try to get answers about what really happened to their loved ones. You know, just going back to not fiction but fact. You know, the 9/11 Commission talks about the firefighters who were in the North Tower being unaware that the South Tower had come down because of the faulty radio communications. So I think ultimately, you know, the families wanted answers. And then, of course, they later organized as more and more first responders who went down to help at the pile. And, and now as are getting sick, and you know, they organized around that issue and were very effective there as well.
You are a longtime adjunct instructor at New York University Arthur L. Carter Journalism Institute, where you're teaching investigative reporting. Tell me about, say, attitudes, the interest level in 9/11, now that we're 21 years later.
Yeah, well, so this is another reason that I wrote the book. You know, as we get further and further away from the event, there are now generations of young people, including at the college level, who did not live through it themselves or have no personal memory. We all do. You know, there's a next generation now that I think needs to be reminded of what happened, and that's another reason for writing the book, to try to make sure that we don't forget, and that some of the lessons that are learned and some of the mistakes that were made, you know, are not repeated again.
As we look back, corrections, you know, for the mistakes? Was there an awareness afterwards, geez, we should have been better prepared for this? How does that play into it?
Yeah, so I think, you know, those of us who've been around a while remember that there was an attack on the Trade Center in 93, and some of the issues, the communications issues that came up then, you know, I don't think were fully addressed because we saw them play out 21 years ago during the 9/11 attack. So, you know, listen, first responders have a terrifically difficult job, and it's always easy to Monday morning quarterback. But I think they also, as a community, you know, they're very focused on safety. And they always want to try to improve how they do their jobs. So, you know, anything we can do to advance that and to make sure that they have the right equipment going forward, including good communication capabilities, I think is a plus and something that they focus on. You know, no firefighter that I know goes to work and doesn't want to come home at the end of the shift, right?
Yeah.
All have families. So as heroic as they are and brave as they are, they want to be able to have the right equipment and the right training to come home at the end of the day.
So a lesson was learned, and again, which would be of little consolation to the families and, you know, of the 343 firefighters. There are who were killed. Is there and has there been, you know, a movement that says, the city, the fire department was so ill prepared for this that my spouse, my father, my relative, couldn't and shouldn't have been where he was, when the tower collapsed?
So I think there's been some recognition, even at the highest levels of the fire department, that the radios, for instance, didn't work all the time. Commissioner Von Essen, who was the commissioner, fire commissioner at the time, he did a book 2 years after 9/11, and he also testified before the 9/11 commission. And I end the book with his testimony, part of his testimony to the commission, because I thought it was very good and kind of summarizing. And what he basically said was that, you know, the radios worked some of the time, they didn't work all of the time. And I thought that was a good kind of summation. So, I think that, the fire department was almost completely rebuilt since 9/11. They lost so many people from probies all the way up to the top chiefs. And they've had to rebuild, and I'm sure they've rebuilt stronger and better, but there are always lessons to learn when it comes to being a first responder. So I think we all owe them an obligation to, again, make sure that they have the equipment they need and the training that they need.
Well, it is and has been reviewed, and we'd like to agree with one of them. It's a brilliantly suspenseful novel about 9/11. Don't Look Back. It's a novel based on real events about the 343 fire department firefighters in New York killed on 9/11, and indeed the fight for the truth. My guest, Joe Calderoni, Pulitzer Prize winning journalist, and indeed the book is very timely, and it does give us, you know, an overall, a bird's eye view of, you know, your experience and what indeed you were able to expose in the form of a novel. Good luck to you, Joe Calderon. Calderoni, and also Amazon, give us the rundown again about the easiest way to acquire this book.
Yes, thank you, Adrian. The book is available on Amazon. You just type in Don't Look Back or Joe Calderoni or both, and it'll pop up. And it's also available as an audio book and on Kindle.
Excellent. Thank you. Good luck, Joe Calderoni. All right, and friends, you are listening to Irish Radio Network, USAIrishRadio.com, worldwide.